You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Exodus and chapter 25. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, thank you that we can do just that. Thank you for your personal involvement, your presence, as you seek to give us understanding. God, Spirit of God, thank you very much. Our Lord, thank you for your grace and presence. In Christ's name, amen. If you were an Israelite living a long time ago and you went to Mount Sinai, and as you go to Mount Sinai, God introduces himself in a very special way, different than in Egypt. And at Mount Sinai, you would have to stand away in fear and trembling. If you crossed the line, you'd die. Even an animal would die with the fire and all of it. Awesome. Now, you can't live with God like that. So God went, introduced himself, and then he put himself smack dab in the middle of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he put him right self in the middle of it, three tribes on each side. And he put a tent called the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was, the reason for the tabernacle was that they could be able to look at God, see God, understand God by way of the tabernacle, that they couldn't do on Mount Sinai. All of that leading to our Lord born in Bethlehem, Judea. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. A tent, word flesh, tent. God was tented among us so we could handle him. Otherwise, we can't handle God. So, now God, having done that, the tabernacle was the way to show the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the table of showbread was there. Everything about the tent, from the coverings to the content, was about the Lord Jesus Christ, helping understand him. And the table of showbread, he's the bread of life. And the altar of incense, he's the only way to satisfy God. That's how we can come and know him. And the lampstand on the other side left over there. And the lampstand is, he's the light of the world. The curtain is the ark, he's the law, he's the sovereign God. Mercy seat, he's a merciful God. Now, all of that being said, Exodus chapter 25, looking at the particular item, verse 31, and thou shalt make a candlestick, a lampstand of pure gold, of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. So God's going to make a very special Mandora candlestick with seven lamps to it, very fancy. And keep, you don't need to read the rest, it tells all about it. Over to verse 37. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. Is the only way you'd have light in that very, 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 very dark room with all those coats of skin is by that lampstand. So the only light you have in that tabernacle is that lampstand. The light is there. And that's he's the light of the world. He's the light of our life. Now, having got that little bit, now, God, you're telling us about your wonderful person. So, and the golden lampstand is the only way to give light to who God is. How are we going to understand God in the dark? We've got to have light to understand God. We can't understand God in the dark, in death. No, I need light. He's the light to bring all of it into focus. all of it to see. That's why we see. We have light. If we're in the dark, as you know, we don't see any colors. We don't see anything. That's why you see. You see the colors. Well, that's what you're looking at. That's why you have different people. You can see them. Because the light, that's what's helping us. Without light, we can't see. We couldn't distinguish. Now, having said that, now jump over, if you would, into the New Testament, over to Revelation. And in chapter 1, Revelation 1, and they pick up again. And the churches, the body, local bodies of believers like this. And what are they? What were they supposed to be? What are they supposed to be? And in verse 20, and that which thou, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the seven angels and messengers of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, lampstands, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. So the church is a golden lampstand. That's gold, God. And so we got God. And the tabernacle, the lampstand is solid gold. Mercy seat is solid gold. Wow. So we're looking, and here's the lampstand. So the churches were meant to be lights. What were they doing? They were like the tabernacle for the Israelites, the local churches from Asia and all over the world, ultimately, in some form. All over, here's the local churches, Jerusalem, Antioch. They were lights, not like the tabernacle, no. They were little places where the Lord Jesus Christ showed himself in a magnificent way, locally, to all over the nations, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost, etc., and be my witnesses all over the world. Now, having said that, now, how did that go? Well, it didn't go very well, because when you read chapter 3, etc., they lost their first love, and the church at the beginning, and if you're already there still, chapter 3, and I'll read verse 7. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, saith he which is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. He's the one, God, you're telling the wonderful thing you've done. Oh, hold it. I did that. My page turned, but I didn't need to turn. I read chapter 3, so in case you were wondering. Chapter 2. And picking up, if I can, verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Remember, they lost their first love, verse 4. They had everything else, but they lost the relationship that made it all work. I remember, therefore, from the henceforth thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. If you don't fix this, I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And then you go through the seven churches. So God tells the first one, you either fix things or you're all going to be put aside. That doesn't mean the people couldn't be there like now, and buildings and everything, but no God, no gold. No God, no gold. Where's God? Now, having said that, then church history, all the way to where we are, chapter 3. And you know, when you come to chapter 3, the church in Laodicea, neither hot nor cold, etc. And God's in verse 16, 3, at this time 3. And in 16, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So then, because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Vomit you out. I'm not happy with it, God said. Now, so that's where that is, where we are now. We're there. So the glory of the church is Ichabod, no glory. No glory. Israel was to be glorious. The tabernacle was wonderful. Now, so God, a lesson for us. In the light of the Israel going backwards, Israel was going to go downhill, captivity, etc. Now, after the captivities, what do we have? After everything, you're hot, you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm. The glory and the wonderment of being a believer, being saved, wow. Where is it? Israel, it was gone, except the church. Here we are, and it's all gone, really. Where do you find it? It doesn't mean it isn't there, it's just hard to find. It's like the family, mothers. The whole thing is going downhill, worse and worse and worse. So we can't enjoy family, father, mother, husband, wife, children. No, it's very, very, very hard to find it, to do it. Now, to put that together, God, well, Israel, captivity, the church, apostasy, Zechariah. And in Zechariah, if I may, picking up, please, in thought. Now remember now, God in his wonderful grace is going to go and hold your finger right here for a minute, just to tie it. Hold your finger here and go over, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 16. John chapter 16. And just to remind us, John 16, verse 13, upper room, our Lord's going to go to the cross shortly. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, Spirit of God, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, no. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So a wonderful, wonderful revelation of God's wonderful person. How so? Verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He's going to show you all the wonderful benefits of the tabernacle, the wonderful benefits of Jesus Christ. Who was in this one become flesh, risen again? What is it, this person, the light, the bread, all of it? It's all of God. That's right. I need to know that. The Spirit of God's ministry, God in his wonderful presence, honors himself. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to honor God's saving grace, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And that's what he's doing. He's doing that. It's a thankless job, as it were, a job. And not many people care about it. But, Zechariah, back over there, that's the way we're going to keep making it. You can't ignore him. He's absolutely essential. So we come to Zechariah chapter 4. You would recall, if I can, approximately 535 B.C., they finished the foundation of the temple. That's what they did. So here's the foundation. The captivity, 70 years captivity. They come back, and Zerubbabel and that, they fix the temple, fix the foundation, and then they quit. They don't do anything. For 15 years, they don't do anything. And then Haggai and Zechariah come along. God sent two prophets to wake them up. And that's what happened. So therefore, by 520, they have built in 4 years, 416, 516, and if I can, and 420 BC, right in there, they build the temple. They finish the temple. They do the temple. Now, God gives them incentive to do something. Are they going to have Solomon's temple? No. No, they're just going to have an ordinary temple with the insides are missing. The lampstand is gone and everything. But they're going to have that. It isn't like Solomon's at all or the tabernacle. And the temple's been torn down and taken away and gone. So now in the temple that they have, they're going to have that. And they're encouraged to go and do it. And so Zerubbabel rolls up his sleeves and is encouraged to do so. In doing so, the whole message from Zechariah and Haggai, the whole message has to do with the Spirit of God's wonderful, wonderful work to help us. When everything's hopeless, helpless, nothing's going, nothing looks good, nothing's coming. But then there's God. So, chapter 4, picking up, if I may, keeping in mind, God is going to be wonderfully, wonderfully faithful and consistent. And you can count on God. God is confidence. God is confident and comfortable in being who he is. And God does what he does in a most wonderful way. And therefore, the people that are trusting God and getting close to God are going to get what? They're going to get very confident. They're going to get confident. And in the process of getting confident, God is going to pledges himself and his first purpose, his promise, his mercy, his grace. He pledges himself to be God. That's what he's going to do. And so fully, he's going to work out everything. But it doesn't look like it. Oh, it is going to work out, he said. That's what you have to know. It looks like it's all done for Israel, and in one real sense it is, in that going down the corridor. Here we are in this period of history, and the church is at its period of history, which isn't very, very pleasant or proper or what it should be, but it has to be. It has to be. So therefore, God, the outcome, God, can there be failure? No, not in the outcome. In the outcome, no. Can there be faults, failure, thing won't work? No. And mistakes? No. Is there anything that will stop the outcome? No. Nothing will stop the outcome. The outcome is a sure thing. Wow. A wonderfully sure thing. I was just talking to Betty Maroney today and people like that. Remind yourself, and it's a sure thing. What the hospital does and what people do and what your body does, it belongs to him. But it's a sure thing. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And God is letting and outworking his will. It's a sure thing. If you're going to trust him, it's a sure thing. No matter how you cut the cookie, it's a sure thing. That's what you know. Everything else you don't know. The hospital doesn't know. Doctors don't know. But God knows. And that's the sure thing. Now that's the mood and the movement back in the days of Zechariah and Zerubbabel and Haggai, etc. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that, if you can, in chapter 4, picking up, please, in the light of it, as you would know, without getting into all of the wonderful things, we did Zechariah somewhere. And in the process, he's going to look, and Zechariah is going to see, and he wakes all his visions. And here's the vision of the lampstand. What lampstand? That's in the tabernacle, the seven-pronged lampstand. And what are you going to, of all the different things to see, What are you going to show Zechariah? I'm going to show him the lampstand. The lampstand. He needs to understand the lampstand, the light. When it's dark, is there danger of the light disappearing and going out? No. No, there is no danger. Why not? Why not? Is God going to cease to be? No. Is God going on vacation? No. Can God ever depart from being who he is, where he is, holding all the stars and galaxies in place? No. Nope, not at all. Now, so therefore, he sees the verse 3, and he saw the bowl, lampstand, verse 2, verse 3, the two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side. So here's the lampstand, if you can think of that, lampstand. And here's on the olive tree, that's where you get the oil to put in the lamp to burn. So here's an olive tree and an olive tree. And the olive trees are what? Feeding into the bowl that feeds all seven lamps. So here we are looking at this bowl. So the trees. Can we count on the trees? Oh, we sure can. God, you're going to help us. I said, I am. So now, therefore, if I can, in verse 5, verse 4, and I answered and spake to the angel and talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? What are these two trees? Verse 5, then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto thee, me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Zechariah said, I don't know. Now, God, how are you going to say that in one simple way? Verse 6. And by the way, the trees represent the governor, Zerubbabel, and the governor, Zerubbabel, it represents Christ, the Lord, the lamps. The Spirit of God represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't blame you. I used to be able that loud, be able to do that. I couldn't get to you. Strength, great strength. Wow. Little body, big strong. Get big body, no strength. What can I tell you? Now, so here we are looking, and the lamp oil, the Spirit of God represents God, Christ Jesus, the King of Kings, his government, his authority. He's ruler. The other olive tree represents the Lord Jesus Christ, the tabernacle, represents him as what? As the high priest. He's the priest. He's the one that makes it all work. So, God, what are we looking at? Why is that lampstand going to stay lit, which is Christ? Christ is the light of the world. He's not going to go away. He's the light of your life, not going to go away. The Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, can do it because he's King of Kings. It's his, God's government is outworking the wonderful plan of God, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. And the priest, God, he's the saving, he's the Savior that saves us. He's providing the wonderful mercy and grace that we need to make it work. When do you quit God being sovereign? Never. When do you quit grace and mercy? Never. Does the lamp ever have less oil? Never. Light. The lights stay lit and you don't have to do anything. God is going to be God without any help from you or me. You don't need any help. The lamp in the tabernacle, you'd have to come and trim the wick and do everything, but you don't have to do that with God, which the lamp represents. So God, here you are showing Zerubbabel and the people in the day of Zechariah and Zechariah and Haggai. You're showing them you're a wonderful person. And so when you come now to chapter 4, and picking up, please, in verse 6, and you'll notice simply the answer. is very simple. The Spirit of God's ministry, we just read it in John 16. The Lord Jesus said, he does not represent himself. Can he? Sure, he's God. But as God, he represents Christ. That's what he does. So it's nothing about the Spirit of God's person. It's about the Spirit of God honoring the person of Christ, his person. Why his person? Because that's the only way you can know God. He who's died on the cross, he's the Lamb of God. He's the temp. He's the Word become flesh. That's how can you know God? We can't. So therefore, the whole outworking is going to be what? To show what? The Spirit of God's awesome ministry. It's neglected. It's indifferent. We think of all the words. They give Hebrews, they despise, give insult to the Spirit of God. They limit the Spirit of God. They despise the Spirit of God. They resist the Spirit of God. They grieve the Spirit of God. They quench the Spirit of God. They oppose the Spirit of God. All those words. That isn't a very fun time. All of those things against him. He's trying to do something wonderful. Verse 6. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, that has to do with strong, firm, it's a military word with power to go to war, to be able to win a war. Not by might, no, you can't have a big army, that isn't going to do it. Nor by power, human strength, mental strength, physical strength. It won't work that way. It ain't going to work that way. No, not at all. Not by might, nor by the power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. God, you're going to have to do it. It isn't external. It isn't internal. It isn't human anything. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord God. So God, you do what you're going to do, and you're going to do it to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in a most wonderful way. And therefore, that's what you're going to do. And if without the Spirit of God, nothing's going to work. It isn't going to work. God has to make that work. How can you abide in Christ as a branch to the vine if he doesn't make it work? He has to make all of the wonderful effort and energy and cost on Calvary's cross become real. And that's his assignment, to make real what has become an absolute necessity for us to be saved, to make real and right our relationship to God, to make it work. That's his wonderful, wonderful, wonderful ministry. And thus God's design, God's wonderful design, he designed you for that, made in his image and likeness, a wonderful, wonderful thing to be made like unto him. Therefore, remind ourselves, remember we said in John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus said, listen, do you understand the Samaritan woman and that? That you guys that worship and doing all the different things you're doing, you can't get to God. The only way you can worship God is in spirit and in truth. Otherwise, you can't worship him. You aren't equipped. God gave us wonderful equipment. Over, if you would, please. Proverbs. Proverbs, reminding ourselves of your equipment. And Proverbs chapter 20, and picking up, if I may, you'll pick it up at Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle, the lamp, is the candle of the Lord, its purpose searching all the inward parts of the belly, your inside. What's the tabernacle in the tent? To give light so you can see. What's the purpose of your spirit? to be able to know God, the light of the world, to have light in the midst of doubt, discouragement, disappointment, depression, death, name them. Easy, hard, where I need to understand. I need to be confident in God's confidence. I need to be comfortable in God's comfortableness, in God's absolute wonderment of doing what he does without flaw, without fault, perfectly. I need to know that so that I'm resting in that. Now, so therefore, body, soul, you have a body, your physical body houses your soul, and you have a person that's you inside. And the person inside houses your spirit. Soul houses spirit. The body disappears, the soul and spirit stay. Why did he give us a spirit? We aren't like a moose or a crocodile. We aren't like them. No. God gave us a spirit. Angels, spirits. God had to give us a spirit. What do we need? Well, we lost the relationship to God, and we need to have that now. So in the process, I don't have, this is a little easy for me to carry. You can't see it back there, but this is a little candle thing. And I want you to make believe that that's a candle with oil, the oil in there. And there's a little wick in there. You can't see it, little wick. Hang on to that. Now God, that's the light. The spirit of man is that wick. But it's dead. You're spiritually what? Dead. You need to life. What is it to get saved? You get saved and have spiritual life. The wick has to be lit. John, Psalm 18. And in Psalm 18, David, are you going to help us? If I can. Psalm 18, verse 27. 18:27. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks, pride. 4:28. Thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will lighten my darkness. So, God, when I get saved, what does God do? I have spiritual birth. How can God relate in a oneness? He's spirit, your spirit. And that's what God unites. He lights. You have a relationship like that. That's the only way you can have it. And you have it. That's why you got it. You're made for it. You're designed for it. Hang on. And so David, what did you say? God lights my candle so that I can see. When you get saved, we read, and all the wonderful truths are ours. We believe them, don't understand them, but they're ours. They're ours. The Word become flesh. God has made it all possible for us. Now, having said that little bit, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the Spirit of God's wonderful, wonderful ministry, just to make sure. And in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, picking up, if I may, in verse 10, you'll catch it. I'm going to read verse 9 because I like verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man inside the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now that's, and we shared, the easiest way to get all of that is just think of a ship pulling up to port, pulling up to the dock, and the ship is going to get loaded with everything it needs for the trip. God said, I want you to know I have prepared when you get saved, I prepared everything for you so that you can make the journey. How so? Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. How can I ever understand? We don't know what to pray for as we ought, etc., etc., etc. So God, that's your job. That's right. I don't want to take God's job away from him. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make it all work. It isn't my job to make it work. It isn't your job to make it work. It's his job to make it work. I can't believe, we just read this morning with that. You can't be. They wanted the Lord to come out. They wanted the Lord to come out of the building to be with them on their terms. And no, God said, you need to be in the building on my terms. That's what you need to do. I'm God. You need to let me be God and not come out and to be, let you want me to be what you want me to be on your terms. And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. And that's why we get along with God, because we think certain things and say certain things and we hear certain things. And then we say, well, that can't be, etc. But God is still God no matter. Now, so therefore, verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man? That's why we can understand each other, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world. No, we didn't. That isn't how you get saved. The wick will never get lit. But the Spirit, which is of God, reason that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, how can we know what we have if God doesn't help us? The Spirit of God's ministry is to make it all happen. And it isn't going to be by human ingenuity or power or resources or experiences or background or whatever you want. It isn't going to be anything human or anything about humans. It's about God doing everything that needs to be done in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, God, having done all that and keeping all that, so God, we're able to go and look to you. And that's why we're able to go like in 1 John 1, 7 and that. What are we going to do? We're going to walk in the light as he is in the light. Where's the light? God lights spiritually. Let us be looking to God to take care of this. And God's going to do what? He's going to go, like we can turn there, why not? Over to Ephesians, right next door, comparatively. And over to Ephesians, and in chapter 5. And you will notice, what are you going to say, God? How are we supposed to handle the day in which we live? It isn't an easy thing. No, it isn't. Verse 15. See that, this is 5:16, Ephesians. See then that you walk circumspectly, most carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, what is the will of God? Verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine, trying to find relief, etc., drugs, etc., wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Hang on to that part. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And while you got that in your mind, go over to Colossians and remind yourself. In Colossians, picking up, please, directly in verse 9, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In God's wonderful person, in his, the Lord Jesus Christ, is all of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Verse 10, and we are complete, filled full, same word. We're complete, we're filled full, never half full, never partial. The Spirit of God doesn't go half. 70%. I have a little bit. No, no. The wick has to be fully lit. There's no halfway for this wick. Hang on. There's no halfway to make it happen. So God, and in the process, verse 10, and you are complete in him, which is the head, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Think of the hinds feet in high places. We climbed their high places. We just did that. Their high places. Wow. Governments, powers, demons. We got it. Wow. Now, having said that, so it's full. That's not partial. You either have the light on, the light off. Easy. You either have the power in that light. When the power's in the light, is the light going to be on? How much? How much power is going to come out of that in there? Whatever bulb it is, that's where the power is. It is not 50%. The filament, going to light, you betcha. Full power, no half power. God, how can I have a little of you? You don't have a little. You have all or nothing. You're either going to let me be God, and therefore I'm going to be God. Not half a God, not quarter of a God, not a little God. So therefore, in the light of that, keeping that in mind, if you would, and all of that, so God, well, we're doing it. And since we're talking about the wick, then what about a wick? Well, here's basically this oil, and the oil's feeding, and it's lit, make-believe. I put a light to it, and the wick is burning. What do I know about the wick? Well, it's just a wick. It isn't very fancy. It's just a wick, a little piece of string like. That's all. All we are, and God said it, apart from him, we're just dust. We're just a vessel of clay. That's all we are. But when he steps in, the vessel of clay is changed. And he uses that vessel of clay in a most unique way. Now, hang on, over if you would to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7. And in Hebrews chapter 7, picking up, if I may, that which you know. May I go back directly in the light of verse 16? 7:16 Hebrews. Who is made not after the law of carnal, fleshly commandment, something we do, but after the power, dynamic, the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art priest, a priest, forever after the order of Melchizedek. God, when do you quit being a savior? When do you quit saving? When do you quit being who you are on our behalf? Never. That's why you have an endless life. The power of an endless life. The power, the fullness, power of an endless life. Full power. Where's it from? Acts 1:8, and you shall receive what? Power. You're my witnesses and all over the world, and I'm going to give you power. So am I going to have pot power? No, I have to what? Have all of the wonderful person of God. So as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood cleanses us from all sin, and we got it. We're just the wick. A wick. Oh, a wick. A little old wick. Not much, is it? No, it isn't. But you know, it is how God has chosen body, soul, and spirit. He gave you a spirit to know him. Without him, it's nothing. But you know, when you know him and you fulfill what he wanted to save you, that spirit, that wick, becomes something wonderful. Do you know something about a wick? It takes the oil. Think of the 7 lampstands and why you used it, God, in Zechariah 4. The 7 lampstands, and here's the wicks. And the wicks need to be trimmed, but apart from that, the oil, olive oil, never ends. Christ never stops being God. The Spirit of God never disappears. You're sealed by the Spirit of God and forever until he takes you home, if you're saved. And so God, here's the Spirit of God going in a most wonderful way. And the wick just takes the oil, and the oil climbs the wick like a ladder and goes to the top of the wick and burns. The wick doesn't burn. The wick doesn't burn. The wick is just a ladder. And the oil goes right up through the wick. The wick is nothing. Ah, but it is the way for God to do his wonderful thing in your life. And the wick, that's all. That's what you just read in Zechariah 4. Not by power, not by might, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God just does it. Your little wick. Yeah. Use your common sense and understanding of God's word and your walk with God in the light. So we aren't looking there for our IQ or our whatever cues you got, whatever you got going for you, and you got them, fine. That isn't what you're doing. You're trusting God. And God's going to be God. That's the way it is. And you don't help him be God. It's a wonderful kind of life. It's his life. It's the power of an endless life. And this God is going to keep giving you life. Just like your body's giving you physical life at the moment, God's giving you spiritual life. And you need to exercise it. It's fullness. It's wonderfulness. And so here's the wick going. And the wick is saturated with oil. Saturated, full, has to be full. The wick's soaking wet coming up, but the fire's just at the top. Wow. And it keeps feeding it. That's all. It keeps feeding. And the wick just stays and stays and stays and stays. That's why God showed to Moses in the beginning the burning bush. Why didn't you show him something else? No. I showed him a bush. A what? A little old shrubby bush. That's right. He passed it many times all those years when he was taking care of the sheep. Just a bush. But you know what? The bush never burned up, did it? The bush was full of fire, but it never burned up. Never burned up. Nope. It just didn't do it. Didn't burn up at all. So God, we're just a wick. That's all. A little old wick. Not much. Nope. Nope. Life's pretty. It's a wonderful life, God. It is. But you get it all complicated. You loused it all up with your ins and outs and ups and downs, and you don't enjoy God and his wonderful being God. He gave you a unique relationship to himself to enjoy it. 2 Corinthians 11. Who hath taken away and caused you to lose the simplicity that you have in Christ? The single wonderful relationship. God, my Father, and my Savior. Children, sons, daughters. Who? How simple can you get? You can't. Who has taken that away from you? Enjoying that simplicity. Wow. Now, so having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so it isn't about, that's why pride's so terrible. Of all the things God hates, what's the first one? Pride. He hates pride. Pride exalts us in some I, me, my something, and we're doing this and that. Now, that's what exalts us. I can do it, and I don't need this, I don't need that, I can do this, I'll figure that out. And that's what we do. That doesn't mean you don't figure. You have to get a, if you got a column of numbers to add, you got to add them up. You got to do things. You got to wash the dishes sometime. You got to do all those things. You do. But you don't want to lose the simple relationship. Over in closing, over to Zechariah. And God does a wonderful thing for us. In our bankruptcy, without God, we'd be bankrupt. And God goes and takes all we need to do is be trusting God, abiding in Him in His most wonderful way. And God does what He does in a most wonderful way. Now, and over in, I started to say Zechariah, chapter 4. And God adding to that, if I may, picking up, please. Now remember, the thing is going to be finished. Zechariah is encouraged. It's going to be finished in a most wonderful way. So in the process of being finished, Zechariah and the building's going to come together. And the building, remember, think of it. Here's the foundation. What do you know about the foundation? Jesus Christ is the foundation. And here's the first stone, like on the wall, the first brick to go on a wall, and all the other bricks are the same. All the other bricks are the same. Jesus Christ is the first brick, and every other brick has to represent Him. So when you see the bricks, they all point to the same brick, Christ. The church, one brick, one building, one body, period. Not a lot of bricks, just one. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind and God's wonderful work, and when you're going, in this case, here's the walls going up, and when the walls are done, the walls come together in a corner like that, and there's a brick that goes right in the corner, here in the corner, right up here, a little brick in the corner, that's called the cornerstone. Corner, what do you do, God? And 1 Peter tells us what? Jesus, you know, he's the foundation, we know that. He's the first brick in the block to tell us the apostles and prophets. Everybody else has to be like him. All the bricks have to be the same. And the top brick, 1 Peter 2:7. He's the brick. The wall is complete when these two pieces, a piece is put here to connect the two pieces of the wall, and he's the top stone. Means the wall's finished. Zerubbabel, are you going to finish the wall? Finish the building, I should say. Absolutely, you're going to finish it. That's what you're going to do. You're going to finish the building. And he did. He did. He finished the building. And that's what it says. Verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? There was wasn't a big job. All you had is not encouragement. You had to be encouraged to do it. O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, who shall become a plain? Who shall be plain? A big mountain becomes nothing in the light of God's plan for your life. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, saying, grace, grace unto it. That's what he's going to shout. Yeah, God, you're going to do it. That's right. You're going to put it together. Hell, God, thank you. Your grace. Why? It's your grace, God. Your wonderful grace. Hold your finger here. I can hold your finger over to Luke chapter 17. You're still in Zechariah. I got to move quickly. Luke. Chapter 17. God's going to finish it. That's right. Now, what do we know? In Luke chapter 17, I want to read, if I may, in verse 5, 17, 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. God, we've got to have more faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. Uh-huh. Verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, oh, such a small seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Do you understand? I'll increase my faith. Use the faith you have. You believe me? Believe me. Is it a big belief? No, but you're going to have to get it to grow. So your belief becomes confident. You're very comfortable believing God. It isn't a big thing. I'm going to trust you, God. No, I'm going to trust you comfortably. No matter what, where, when, how, trust you. And your belief gets stronger. That's what Thessalonians, second, that their faith was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So you trust God all the more, and you're sure of it. This isn't even a problem. Wow, I just know God. I don't need to understand it. I don't even need to see anything. 1 John 5. I don't need to see it. I just know you're going to do it. That's all. You start and you finish. That's what you do. So therefore, Zechariah chapter 4. And in verse 10, as the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Now Joshua, Zechariah, I should say, and Zerubbabel and all of them. Verse 10. For who hath despised, given insult, esteem to give little value, to overlook, smallness, it's too insignificant. Who hath despised, made so little, the day of small things? If you just had the faith of the grain of mustard seed and used it, that's all. You're looking for something. Why don't you just do what you can do, even if it's so minuscule and little? Why don't you do it? Believe me, in your little belief that it can grow and grow. Don't despise the day of small things. Zechariah, Malachi is going to go down the tube. That's how it ends. Curse. Unbelief. 400 years or so. Unbelief. But, you guys, you're encouraged to do a little, be a little, trust God a little, hang in there a little. A little is a lot if God's in it. If God's in it, it's an awful lot, you know. Do you know Samson's jawbone of an ass? Now, I don't know. I never had a donkey bone. But I assume a donkey bone is just a regular old bone. Now, if I looked at the little old bone and a bone, I don't see anything there. But you know, when God got a hold of that bone, woe be to the Philistines when God got a hold of that bone. Just a bone. The Lord Jesus said, what are you going to do with these 15,000 people or more? What are you going to do with them? Oh, all we got are 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. Oh. Yeah. And God said, that's little, isn't it? Why don't you just take the 5 loaves and 2 little fishes and take the 12 baskets? You guys go serve and you go take a long journey. And when you're done, come back to me and tell me how much have you got in your little baskets. You got the same as when I said sent you away. I took the 5 loaves and filled all those baskets. And when they were emptied by thousands of people, I brought them back to myself, and they were still full. God, when do we make you depleted? When can we take away from you and deplete you? You'll have enough. God said, I always have enough. Always. I never lose one drop of energy, one drop of anything. I remain full at all times, in all places, in all ways. I remain full. Be filled with the Spirit of God, O little wick. And yet that's when you're going to trust God. And God's going to does a wonderful thing. You're just a wick, a little old wick.
Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be a WIC.
Oh, I want to be a CEO of Joe's Sweatshop. No offense.
No, I just want to be a little WIC, God. And do whatever you want. Make me king if you want. But I just want to be a WIC. That's all.
Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and deal with the heads in our hearts and safety and everything that is required, that we'd have the benefits, the wonderful, wonderful benefits of your person and presence. All this night, God, you don't stop for 1 second. In 1 minute, you keep going every single second as we look at the clock to be God. You never stop. So God, help us. Ye of little faith. God, we're going to try to just exercise so that as we're looking to you, you are very much appreciated, Spirit of God. They don't appreciate mothers and the rest of it either. But be of good cheer. God, you told us to be of good cheer and to be confident and comfortable in the outworking of what? Just be a little WIC, thankfully trusting you, inch by inch, day by day, as we walk in the light. God, thank you, in Christ's name. Amen.